Hey, thanks Sewer Sibs for coming back and sticking with us. This episode, as promised, I'm going to talk about the director, who's a pretty interesting fella. And yeah, we're going to talk more about the movie, surprise. And we're going to talk about that interesting ending and the possibility of this becoming a horror movie. I mean, we all want it, right? So thanks again for sticking with us, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, so you've got so in your version, obviously, and in my version at the same time, but you've got Mr. Movie basically throwing the kids into a trash compactor and and pretty much murdering them. He's talking to Mr. Johnny on the other line. He's got Paulo tied to a tree to like burn her underneath presents if she doesn't give him the list of the kids' names.
About that bad actor guy, mountain guy, is that it showed him destroying and burning their cell phones. So I'm like, okay, that's cool, because now we know, like, there's no way that they can call the authorities. Now they can't call their parents and be like, so this happened and this guy's trying to kill us, help maybe. So I appreciated that, because I was like, okay. But then squashing the kids in like all Star Wars style in a trash compactor, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was actually kind of harrowing for a kids movie, because they got even more squished than Luke Skywalker did in that trash compactor. Totally. Especially with all the bikes and the metal and stuff. Like, man, somebody's getting tetanus. That's
yes, it looked like Amelia was about to bite it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then Ricardo saves everybody by shoving his dad's pocket knife into the gears and stopping it. Mm-hmm. And these kids also have some amazing upper body strength, because they were able to pull themselves up out of that thing.
Yes.
Without, Igor or Igor noticing that the kids destroyed his trash compactor. And again, sleeping way too soundly for somebody who just murdered children.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. That was a choice. But we find out that he's working with or for Mr. Johnny. And Mr. Johnny puts him on speakerphone to let Paola hear that he's going to kill the kids. And she's like, I'll tell you, because he's trying to find out where the kids' letters.
The names of the kids. Yeah, the kids' letters are, because she keeps all letters with all their requests and everything.
Yeah, it's like letters to Santa Claus, but letters to La Befana. And she's like, okay, I'll tell you. And
and the phone drops the signal.
And so then at that point, Mr. Johnny's like, ah, fuck it. Let's just set this bitch on fire and call it a day.
But of course, midnight strikes and she's able to escape, and
because she turns into La Befana.
Yeah. And what's really crazy is, like, Mr. Johnny really does not have the right priorities, because she gets on her broom after, like, concussing the goons and also Mr. Johnny. And Mr. Johnny follows her on a flying hoverboard with, like, glasses that, like, can help you, like, guide and, avoid, like, these. I'm just like, dude.
Think Iron Man.
You built a real life hoverboard.
I know.
You could be on the cover of Time as, like, the most, like, man of the year toy maker. This is what you're following with.
Dude, you become the toy maker. She just delivers them, like... there you have it. You're powerful.
Like, you've
you're
won.
More powerful than she is, because you could sell through Amazon. His priorities are way unclear, and it's screwy.
Yeah, like, he also creates, like, I mean, because once the kids escape, like, remember they're attacked by those drone wasps that shoot sedatives and stuff. They shoot Ivan in the leg, which I'm like, thank you.
They call them good fireflies.
It's and they're chasing the kids, like, trying to shoot them. So it's like, dude, you built a really well-functioning drone that doesn't crash into shit. Like, what the priorities, man? Seriously.
Yeah.
You won life.
And when they're showing like he caught her after chasing her on the hoverboard. And because I think she crashes into a tree or something. And
it kind of like Sunny I wish Bonham. They'd shown it. I wish they'd shown that because it almost made me think they were trying to do that joke of, you know, like when people hang up that Halloween decoration of like the witch who's like crashing to the side of the house. I was hoping that would be they missed an opportunity there. They I was totally hoping did. For that joke.
But he brings her back to, I guess, like his factory or something. And he's holding her up there. And they show, besides, like, his two henchmen with their weird-ass hats, like, with a very long bill that floops up, they also show a couple, like, factory workers, just the regular people. Like, there's a woman in a hard hat just walking around, and I'm like, does nobody notice the shit that's going on here? Did they just ignore it? What is happening?
I assume that he actually pays them enough to keep quiet.
I guess. Like
that or they are trapped there like everybody else.
I have to ask some of my friends who've worked at Amazon, like
I think you know exactly the response you're going to get.
I think exactly, yeah. Like, my badge was the wrong color to know that. That's privileged information.
I forgot to mention one other thing about the sedatives. The fact that the Asian kid can smell sedatives.
Right?
He pulls the dart out of Ivan's leg. He's like, and they're like, is he dead? It's like... No, it's just a sedative.
It's just a sedative. Like
what?
How does
I'm sorry.
Know what a sedative smells like? What is happening?
Like, just
what
sedative.
Kind of life
have
has
a
this
scent.
Kid lived? Does this kid?
This kid has seen some shit.
Yeah, right.
At home, he just goes home to like this massive training ground. His parents attack him, like, you just basically saying, like, you must be ready for the
you
apocalypse.
Are not ready yet.
His parents are preppers, like hardcore preppers. Like, you must name these six different kinds of sedatives by smell.
Like, one of these goblets has a sedative. Which
the
one?
The other is poison.
You
and he goes, actually, they're
chance.
Both poisoned.
But if you were a good boy and did what your mommy and I told you to do and keep taking that poison bit by bit every day, you'll be just fine. Oh, man. Yeah, but...
Yeah, sorry. I just had to mention that because I was like, what?
I did too. I had that in my notes, like... Fucking what? Pardon? But okay, so by this time, her beau, Mr. Joseph or Giacomo.
Giacomo, yes.
He comes across her lair.
Shed.
Underground.
First is a shed, but yeah, it's all underground.
Yes, but now it looks like it's... There's another entrance in a cave or something. I don't get it. But anyway, he goes in there. I love it because he pieces it all together and he finds out that she's Lava Fauna and he's like, that's why she won't sleep over. I'm like, yeah, keep telling yourself that, dude.
Well, and then her owl, like, guides him to her and everything. So, like, her owl's just been, like, hanging out. Yeah, she has an owl, by the way, guys.
The owl
doesn't do much. But it's her companion. But
it's there to save her, apparently.
or to guide her boyfriend to help save her. So,
but
and the kids.
He's there, he sees a painting that, a painting of a cliff and a tree, like a dead tree off of a cliff. Which comes up later, and it's a weird choice for her to have a painting of that in her room. But okay, it's a weird she shed painting. We'll say that for now. But
yeah.
So he's led by the owl to Mr. Johnny's lair, factory, whatever.
Well, it's like it's a combination toy factory and ski chalet. It's like, yes. It's sitting on top of a mountain. It's like, dude,
and
like
he
you
has
just took
a stage for stage shows.
No, for his stage show. Let's be fair. He had one song and he was the only one who performed. That's for him.
I did kind of enjoy his song and it was very catchy.
Oh, yeah. No, again, swanky instrumental music. Even the closed captioning people thought it was swanky.
But, yeah, so, okay. Here's another thing. Okay, I should say this is the way it is in my notes. This is one. How did Joseph Giacomo, Paolo's guy, how did he get into Mr. Johnny's factory lair, whatever, undetected, especially when it seems to be in a super secret place? They show him, he shows up because Mr. Johnny gets the kids because the kids make it there. And he has them tied up and he's basically telling Paola that, if he doesn't, or if she doesn't tell him where the letters are, he's going to laser the kids right in front of her.
Which basically is a gun. Let's be fair. Like he says, I'm going to laser them, but then he starts like pointing this gun at them. It shoots bullets. I'm like,
they're going to die.
Yeah, they're gonna die. And I think honestly the answer to your question comes from the workers didn't notice kids wandering around the factory.
Okay, fair. Like, that's true. His henchmen did on the security cams, but okay, so Paola gives in. Actually the husky kid has this nice little speech about how he will gladly die, but Miss Paola, don't tell him where the letters are, because he's a bully, and you've always taught us that we should never give in to bullies. And she's like, yeah, but I don't want you to die, so I'll tell you where the letters are. And
is the same kid who wouldn't give up his sandwich. Can I point this out?
Yeah. Well, okay, so that wolf was a bully, Jane. He was not going to give in to the bully.
He was not going to give him a sandwich.
He was going to stand and die on his ground. Standing up to that damn bully wolf.
He had friends who I think had a vote in this, though.
Yes. I think they would have been like, give him the fucking sandwich, please.
Or, I think they were like, give him the fucking sandwich.
Yeah, like, I think they were waiting for the wolves to eat their friend Leo, and then they were going to run. He says, well, I'll let your child friends go if once I have those letters in my hand, which is wise because, you know, mm-hmm. she could be lying. And so he takes his henchmen and her to the location where she said it's at. And so the kids are still tied up. And in comes Joseph slash Giacomo, dressed in a T-Rex costume.
Not like the ones that you see that people wear for jokes. This is like... It's not as inflatable.
No. And it's got this like weird mesh. It's almost like a tactical mesh around like the face so he could see through it. But anyway, the head is like a hat. And so earlier, one of the kids. Okay. That was number one. How did he get into the factory lair undetected? Two, why was he dressed up as a T-Rex? And I
he
know
was trying to, he was found, trying to hide amongst all the other big life-size toys.
Yeah. Well, I know that he found the costume in Paola's den. And I know that because in the beginning, when the kids happen upon it, they her den, whatever, her she shed, they say... Ooh, a T-Rex.
And so yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, that's where the costume came from. But how did that help him sneak in? I mean, it's like, oh.
I mean, you've seen the weird craft that he has around his stage area. Okay, that's fair. He could sneak in.
That's fair.
Again, some of these things I'm just writing off because I have other comments.
But then he lets them go and he he tells them, there are bicycles outside. You go after you go after Miss Paula, and I'll distract the dragonfly drones. I'm like, okay, so three, how does he know that the drones are called dragonflies? Like, how did he even know them about them at all? He obviously wasn't attacked by them. And then later, they show him still in the motherfucking raptor suit, struggling to get up the snowy hill.
I wonder, why did you leave the costume on? My assumption is he did not have any other clothes on underneath that costume. That's the only reason he left it on.
And they're still playing that sort of noise as he's making his way up the hill.
I mean, there's a lot of choices that these people made. Like, the kids are, like, riding these, like, bikes with, like, these humongous stuffed animal head costumes attached. I'm like, just take the parts off. It's okay. And then they just abandon the bikes and start hiking up the hill. Like, yeah, that's faster right now. Trust me.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, how did he get there? He obviously took his motorcycle. So what did he... Did he have the T-Rex costume with him in the motorcycle? And then did he change out of his other clothes to get in said costume? And why didn't he get back in said clothes? Because then I picture him on a motorcycle in a T-Rex outfit.
Just keep that with you. That's all I'm going to say. Just keep it with you. So I think that's all you have to know.
I want to see that part.
His traveling log.
I want to see the dino bike cut. Okay, that's the version I want to see. But
I want to see the kids drawing cord to that one man, which it looked like they were about to do when the kids finally like get up to mountain, and Paulo and Mr. Johnny and his two henchmen are about to you know, like they're arguing because she's left it on the tree off the ledge. Is obviously it's coming back from the painting, but that's where she's hid the letters, is in a hole in this tree that's hanging off this ledge. And it's about, you know, at least 20 feet down from where they're staying on this cliff, this overhang.
But is that where it is for sure? It's like, it's by that tree. 'Cause I guess that's why she has the painting of it, but that's so weird.
Yeah, it's a bizarre sort of thing. And even like Paula's sort of like, yeah, I'm not getting it. I usually do this at night and I have a broom.
Yeah. So, and she's like,
And they're not willing to wait. So he's trying to get his henchmen down there. They're arguing. I said, like, yeah, you're not paying them enough for this. And then the kids show up and they just start attacking all of them. And at one point, two of the kids are like trying to spread eagle the dude's legs. And I'm like, they're trying to like physically draw and quarter this man.
And in the dub version, one of them says, like, pull his other leg. Like, holy shit, kids. These kids aren't fucking around. They play for keeps.
Oh, God. All I was thinking was like, wow, yeah, I know kids can be vicious, but Jesus Christ.
I got like, no joke, I got a little like feeling uncomfortable in that scene. And I was like, I feel like we're looking at Ivan's future.
Like, I think all of their future. I mean, he wasn't the only one.
Like, oh my God.
I mean, at one point, like, Ricardo like jumped on top of Mr. Johnny and just start like basically hopping on Pop on his stomach. Yes. I was like, holy crap.
And he keeps saying, not my beard, not my beard, that's attached to my
face.
Oh yeah, they
start pulling his beard.
And it's oh God, you guys, it's so weird. And I kind of felt bad for the henchmen because, they did kidnap her and tied her up, whatever, but they refused to kill her.
Yeah.
And like they wouldn't, he had to set the fire himself, the bonfire earlier. And cause they were like, they wouldn't do it. And one of them, like after Mr. Johnny sets the presents on fire, like one of them takes off his hat and like out of respect.
Well, he also, it looks like he has some tears in his eyes as yes. well.
And so I'm like, be nice to these guys. Like they're just doing their job.
They have a family at home they need to support. Yes,
like, maybe they don't, they obviously don't like this job, okay? There's a reason that they're there. They have to be there. Like, leave those poor guys alone. But I would also like to see a movie from the version of one of the factory workers who have nothing to do with the secret shit going on. Like, some of the stuff going on in the background. Like, yeah, they're having a coffee break, talking at the water cooler, and then there's just this T-Rex.
So you basically want to watch Free Guy at this point? Yes, I do. You want to watch Free Guy before he discovers that he's that he can control his own destiny.
Have an awesome day. And you just see this little T-Rex just hopping or hobbling around in the back. You think we should investigate that?
Nah, yeah, we got I'm toys off the clock. To make. Have you seen this new hoverboard we're making? The kids are gonna love this. I wish the marketing team would be better at this.
Oh, did you hear about Brenda? Oh my god, I want to see that. But
I think because yeah, I, you know, because the movie obviously ends with both Paula and Mr. Johnny falling over the side of the cliff, and everybody thinks she's dead. Everybody assumes he's dead. Mm-hmm. And all the kids get really sad and depressed. Like, it's a weird, like, some of their weird sadness depression is like when the portly kid, like, his mom's like, hey, here's some cake. He's like, I think I'll have fruit salad. I'm like, yes. Witnessing a death does some interesting things to people.
Apparently, like, watching your teacher die, fall to her death. Yeah.
Makes you go like, nah, I need a fruit salad now, Mom.
Yeah, she was like, it's your favorite. It's triple chocolate cake. And he says, actually, do we have any fruit salad? And she's looking at him like, what the shit?
And Sesva, and Saviva, who is taking piano lessons but has always wanted a horse, like her parents get rid of the piano and buy her a horse and bring it inside. I'm just like, this is weird.
I put in my notes also, it's wait. Saviva slash...
The teacher dies and all the parents give in certain demands.
Saviva slash Sophia's mom got rid of her piano and literally replaced it with a pony in the living room. What the shit is going on?
Yeah, and this is where, like, Ivan and, I think it's actually, like, Emily, I obviously do not speak Italian.
Emilia?
They, like, because I think it's Amelia in the English version. And I'm trying, it looks like it should be, like, a version of Emily in Italian.
I think it's Emilia with an E, and then in the dubbed, it's Amelia.
Yeah, and her and Ivan hook up. It's like, dude, come on. Kick him.
I know. And, like, he comes back to her. He climbs up to her window to return her mitten or something.
Yeah.
And,
showed her, like, kindness earlier, but, like, one, like, letting her sleep on the couch earlier is not, you know, replacing the fact that he literally told her to go home to her country, like, yes. A day or so.
And she was calling him, I think, like, an ignoramus or something earlier, and...
Yeah, it's...
And now it's like,
and once again, he was spying on his ex, changing.
Yes,
and his ex's mom.
But it's okay because now he's a good boy. Like, his parents obviously aren't in the picture or don't give a shit because he's like creeping up to girls' windows in the middle of the night, and he's saying racist shit and beating other kids up and, you know, making fun of their dads for being dead. But But other than that, he's an okay kid now, and he's hugging them later. And I guess, like we were saying, once you see your teacher fall to their death, I guess
you life's really... short. I guess I don't know.
It really but yeah, makes like... you take stock.
And Ricardo's obviously going through it the worst because he's the main character, and his mom's like, "Hey, you want to hang up your stocking for January 6th?" He's like, "No. She's not coming." And his mom's like, "Oh God." But of course, the stocking's hanging outside and it's snowing. And, mm-hmm. he goes out there and not only is there candy in there, but there's also the pot, his dad's knife that he had used to jam up the machines. And everything's happy. And he sees it's her no with longer her. Broken. Yeah, no longer broken. He sees Paulo out with her bow, assuming now.
And for a split second there, there's a moment where she looks at him and she doesn't indicate that she recognizes him. And I was thinking, this is where it turns into a horror movie. Fucking fantastic. Yes. And then she smiles. I'm like, God damn it.
And winks. Yes.
Son of a bitch. They ruined it all.
Well, and what's really great is also like the CC, the Krill's captioning music. It says romantic orchestral music.
Yes.
When Saviva and Ricardo are looking at each other, and it's like, I
think we're gonna make this a two-parter because we have to talk about the earlier scene with them.
I just remember they were supposed to French kiss.
Yeah. But
I mean, honestly, we are almost done. Yeah, she was wanting to kiss him, and he goes to Giuseppe and saying like, "Hey, you know everything. How do you French kiss?" And he looks up a video on like how to kiss. He's like, "Okay," and this is where he says, "You grab her waist." This is the part where he says, "You grab her waist," and that's when they misspelled waist. That was what it was. Oh my God! You just thank you remind me of what the context.
Grab
was.
Her shit.
Yeah, grab her shit, and then stick your tongue in her mouth.
But if you're sticking your tongue in her shit, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And what's really weird, and this is the ending, is you hear Mr. Johnny's voice also, and he fell off the cliff with Paul, and I'm just like, how the fuck is he alive? Is he like in traction somewhere?
Like they were saying that. Paula says earlier that the only thing that will kill her is fire. So it's like, okay, she's still alive. I get that. But somehow he's still alive. You don't see him. You just hear him yelling. And this is the one part that I guess the reviewer could have been referring to. The caption says something like, "I'll get you, you witch." But... It seriously sounds like he says you bitch, but
yeah. I think I even had Delta, but yeah, he does actually yell in the foreign version if I remember correctly. Because like I was even questioning that, like, was that just a closed captioning thing that my brain's remembering, or like is he actually still alive? So, but again, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's like this is going to be a sequel.
I don't think. No. I hope not. But it came out in 2018, so I guess there's still time for it. But but this is my biggest beef with this movie. Besides like the racist and stereotypical characters that I just find trite and just in the English dubbed version, Giuseppe, the Asian kid, is named Jesse, and Jesse is has kind of longish hair. And is young enough to be still sort of androgynous. And, Jesse in, at least in America, is one of those names that it's androgynous as well. And so watching it the first time, not knowing that this kid's character was originally named Giuseppe, like it's one of those things where this could be a boy or a girl. And I like the English dubbed version of it so much more because I feel like the subtitled version just makes it a cheap gay joke when Chris slash Ricardo asks them how to French kiss. And then it looks like they're about to practice on each other. And then Leo, the husky kid, walks in and says, "I didn't see anything." And I don't know. I just, it bothered me. And I don't know. I guess I just like the idea of a more androgynous character being in there more so than, you know, kind of like with Sabrina having Theo slash Susie, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't so pronounced when he comes in. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, I don't know, like, how it sounded when they were interrupted during their, like, little about to be practicing. Because it wasn't as, like, I was like, it was more just like, oh, I just.
No, I thought it was kind of funny, like, when I first saw it. But then I was just like, okay, this is weird, and the movie could do without it. But still, like. I don't know.
Yeah, and at the time I didn't know because like you don't get to see and you can't hear that well their names. At least for me, I can't always pick up whether or not they're saying a name or not when it's a foreign language. Because I don't always know these languages.
Well, I had to go back just to get the kid's name because I wasn't. I thought it was Jesse, but I wasn't sure. And but yeah, it's they say Jesse's name like once or twice throughout the whole thing. I think so.
Yeah, they barely say any of these kids' names.
Well, and I was watching that on Amazon for the IMDb TV or whatever through Amazon. And so it has that X-ray from IMDb, and it just shows the Italian names, character names.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that thing. I just had to look it up on, like, Wikipedia.
Oh. But, I do think we are going to have to turn this into a two-parter because really quickly, I have a little, I looked up the, I was digging into the actors and the director, and the actor Paola Cortellesi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, who plays La Befana or Paola. In fact, I think this character may have been created for her because, or maybe Paola's a common name. I don't know, but she's been in a lot of stuff by now, and I think she's pretty well known, at least in Italy. But the most surprising person in all of this is the director. I am so sorry. I'm going to make a totally dated reference here. Director's name is Michel Oweo Suave. Sorry. Every time I think of Michel Suave, I think of Rico Suave. Oh man, I just alienated all our youngins.
I'm still thinking like you alienated me. I think I'm like I have no idea what you're talking about.
Back in my day, it was a song from what, the 80s, 90s. I don't know. Anywho, but okay, so this really is surprising because Michel Suave was an actor. He'd been an actor in a Dario Argento film, Tenebrae, which is one of the his best ones, if you ask me.
I was going to say the better one, because we went through a Dario Argento sort of rabbit hole recently.
as you may recall, listeners, we covered the,
Suspiria.
Three Mothers trilogy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Suspiria,
I can't remember either. It's okay.
They
were unmemorable.
And how was and
anyway, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah. That's where we need Donnie to come in and do his obviously not Linda voice and answer it. But he was in Tenebrae, but then he went by his stage name, Michael Shaw. And he had his brain ripped out in a Lucio Fulci film. And as a director, he directed many films, including a documentary on Argento, Dario Argento's World of Horror, Delamore, or Cemetery Man, which had Rupert Everett, and Stage Fright. And I recognized the poster art for Cemetery Man, but I couldn't quite place it. And I remember that Rupert Everett was in a horror movie, and
my hackles are raised right now, Linda. I would just like to point this out.
he's got no connection to Nicolas Cage. I'll let you know.
Okay. You have no idea how much I was just sort of like.
I'm sure I could connect him, but.
But I can't connect this movie to the Muppets. Okay, let me put it that way.
Or to the CW. I'm one of those people like where I recognize a lot of horror art from my childhood, and it was very familiar. So I asked in the Skype chat I have with my brother and Adrian from Cage's Kiss and Videorama. I was like, "Have you guys seen this movie?" And Adrian, true to form, says, "Oh yeah, that's a Suave film." And he's like, "Yeah, he did The Church." I'm like, "Do what now?" And so I watched it, The Church, La Chiesa. In fact, Adrian was saying, and I have to completely agree with him on this. He was saying that, and if you guys don't listen or haven't listened to Cage's Kiss or Videorama, then you should know that Adrian, I love him. He's one of my best friends, and he's definitely a film snob, and he knows his shit, though. He knows his shit, but he's got like this weird encyclopedia knowledge. But he was saying that The Church is one of the very, very, very many movies that consider themselves the prequel, what is that? Like, with it, the third in a series, Demons 3.
I was gonna say a trilogy.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because it's like you can have a trilogy, but what is the third one? Sequel squared. I don't know. Sequel cubed.
I don't know. No idea.
but there are many, many, many movies that call themselves Demon 3. But this is, as Adrian put it, quote, "It's probably one of the most deserving of the title." And I watched it today, and I mean, it is pretty goddamn silly in some parts, but it is so reminiscent of Demons 1 and 2. So I have to agree with him. The Church / Demons 3, whatever, was also partially written by Dario Argento. So there you go. There you have it. But Adrian was just as shocked as I was. He was like, is La Befana like a TV film? Why did he do that? And I was like, I don't know.
It seems like a couple people who were reviewing this movie on Amazon were like, yes, it is the same person who made these horror movies. It's like, okay, no judgment here.
He's made some great like Italian horror films. And, he's kind of become an expert on all things Argento. And he made a family movie, The Legend of the Christmas Witch. So that's why I was really, really hoping in that one moment where, like, even the music stops before she, like, seems to recognize the kid at the end. So I was like, fuck yes, they're leaving it open for a horror sequel. Yes!
No.
No, we were just like a beat away from her looking at him like, you're next. Like, and you just have to show the kid talking to his friend saying, I don't know what came back, but it's not Miss Paula.
Jesus. Like,
we have to stop her and save Little Christmas. There's only one man who could do the job. Ho, ho, ho.
And that leads into the movie Santa Slay.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So yes, I feel like we really covered this film. It's
oh
a doozy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of charming in its ways, but it's also kind of rough.
I like I said, when after your review, I was like, we watched two totally different movies. Like my suggestion is that I go back and watch in Italian, deal with the fact that the closed captions are clearly closed mm-hmm. captioning the English dubbed, and just kind of enjoy the fact that that was the acting that I got to enjoy. Because after hearing Mr. Movie Phone, I was like, oh, no wonder why Linda has some very different reactions than I did. I was like, oh, yeah, it's not a perfect movie, but it's, like I said, it's very Goonies-esque and charming in its own way and has obviously some issues, but it's fine.
I was an adventurer once, till I took an arrow to the knee. Have some hot dogs. But, yeah, so that was a film, and it happened.
That was a film. It had all the makings of a film.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess that now is the time where I say please, please, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflix on Apple Podcasts, because it really helps other people find us and helps us keep near the top of the list when people are searching. And if you enjoy what you've heard, if you enjoy the show, please let your friends know, let your family know, let your enemies know, let your dog know, and, get the word out there. Help us, please. And, remember, you can find us on Twitter at Broomflix. That's Broomflix. And you can write to us at broomflix@gmail.com and check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflix.com. And that's spelled out. And if it's too hard to remember, and I totally get it because it's kind of some weird spelling, just look up cageskiss.com and it will take you to the landing because we share a page with those jerks over there. So, but there you can also check out Cage's Kiss and Videorama. Which I'm sad to report is no longer a thing, but you can check me out now in the second season of the podcast sitcom Four's a Crowd, where I play Mrs. Halverson. But also, happy freaking holidays! Cage's Kiss is coming back, baby!
I'm just, we're coming back. All I'm thinking is like, man, there's going to be a time where he will actually retire from acting.
And then we'll just have to cover his life adventures and his search for the Holy Grail, or his wacky misadventures. We'll stalk him. It's going to be a thing. But this weekend we're
this is recorded. This is recorded.
What's a little stalking between friends? Jesus. And of course I meant cyber stalking. I will see what's news with Cage ? Nothing incriminating. But this week, weekend, we're actually going to be recording Pig. So day after Christmas, we're recording that. So y'all, happy holidays.
Jane. I mean, you're the one who told me that it was actually surprisingly good. So now I may have to check this movie out.
Dude,
so.
Pig.
Although I have promised you, I will go and see Renfield with you. Oh, God, I promise you, I will see Renfield with
I'm
you.
I'm already there. Because
all I'm thinking is going like, Nicolas Cage is going to play Dracula. That is the perfect casting.
Dude, he's
I'm
wanted
in.
To for so long.
I'm fucking in. I'm like, that's casting.
Yes, I am
not predicting this movie will be good. I am predicting this movie will be entertaining.
without a doubt. I'm going to save most of it for the show. Please listen. But dude, pig, like big heart. Love it. Yeah, I can't say enough about it. And I will, I guess. But where can the people find you, Jane?
Well, you guys can find me trying to answer a question asked on December 16th, 1987, which was, should you keep a baby alive long enough just so that you can use its organs to save other babies? Would you like context as to where that came from?
Kind of not.
I'll give it so that people don't think I'm a total serial killer.
No. Donnie,
so
cut it out. Cut it right here. What's that got to do with my knob?
I mean, if you really want the people to think that. No, one of my traditions is that I watch for Christmas, and sometimes just whenever I feel like it, is I watch two Muppet Christmas movies in particular. I watch Muppet Christmas Carol. Yes. Amazingly acted by Michael Caine, honestly.
God,
the fact
yes.
that he plays it seriously around a bunch of Muppets. Like, he plays as if he's acting with other Shakespearean actors.
We got to cover that on Cage's Kiss, and that gave me such a joy. I think it was a bonus episode, and it gave me so much joy.
I love that.
I love that movie so much.
Oh, I do watch that like regularly. But the other one that I watch,
where like he's talking about they're freezing cold and he won't let them put another log on the fire and
it's heat wave and in the sun. Well, and the other one that I watched was made in 1987. It's Muppet Family Christmas. It was a TV movie that aired, and I loved that. That was something that my aunt made a copy of it for me on VHS, and I watched it. And you can't find an unedited copy of it because certain Christmas songs that they sing in that movie are copyrighted. You can... if you have the version that I got, you can get it from a foreign country. Mm. And if you have a Universal DVD player, you can play it that way. That's an option. Or certain sites that I will not name because I do not want them to lose this, because sometimes I use it as backup, do have the full movie up. Oh. But it's recorded from TV. And it's the craziest thing happened when I was watching one of the versions of that recently was, you know, the movie ends, the credits are rolling, and before seconds after the music starts playing, a very serious, almost Dateline-like reporter comes on and says, should you be keeping a baby alive this long enough so you can use its organs to save another baby? And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Tonight at 11.
Like,
I'm just
wait a minute. What?
Yeah, no, trust me. I wanted to catch people off guard because that's how off guard I was caught when I was like, so I'm like, Lala, happy Muppet movie. I'm just like, what? And then the next plug was like, and tonight we're going to show blah, blah, blah Christmas special. I'm just like, holy shit. I want to know what state was this recorded in and what was the results?
There was actually another great, great song in Muppet's Christmas Carol that's cut out too.
Oh, yeah. That was a stupid choice. The choice was the original... one of the execs thought that the caused the movie to drag.
Yes, that's
so they
right.
cut it out.
And I remember, I hadn't watched it in years, but when I rewatched it for Cage's Kiss, I was like, wait a minute, where'd that song go? I really like that song. And that's like one of the few things that I remembered about it.
And it also makes one of the songs at the very end make sense when he sings. I have a DVD copy of it that is the original theatrical release. And it has that song in it.
I think
if you watch
it
on Disney Plus, it will not have that song. Yeah, and they keep the saying, the people who own it say that the copy with that song in it has disappeared. And that's why they can't re-release it with that song. Mm. But last I heard, somebody said like, oh, we found it and now we can put it back in. It's like, okay, then do it. Yes. Just do it. Put it back up on Disney Plus because everybody likes that. It makes everybody's reactions from Rizzo crying to Scrooge looking yes. absolutely like miserable make more sense because that song is goddamn beautiful.
It's beautiful and it's all about the heartbreak between what's her name?
Belle.
Yes, and Scrooge.
Young Ebenezer. Mm-hmm.
Because like she's just like, you know, why won't you marry me already? And why can't we just be together? And why can't you just be happy being with me? And he's saying like
it's
money's important to him and he must become rich, and he's obviously making it so like money is a priority, and she's just singing about her heartbreak of like this is done, the feeling's gone, and it's such a beautiful song, and it's like I feel like it's a very important pivotal part of the movie that's like so intense.
Yeah, and they cut it because they're just like, ah, it's dragging for a kids movie. It's like, it's not, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's, yes,
it's totally freaking fine. And I mean, it's the Muppets, like, come on. I don't that's the beauty of the Muppets. It's like it's always been for children and for the parents and, you know, for the adults. You can watch it and everybody's gonna enjoy it for different reasons, you know.
Exactly. And it's, you know, my dad and I would watch it together. I'm trying to get my kid to watch it with me, and he likes some of it. His favorite character is Beaker. You know, it's fun. You know, like, they're just goofball fun.
Yeah. But they did get bought by certain somebody with ears. And
well, yeah, they got, I mean, they've been bought by Disney for a while because they have like a special thing, Muppet thing at one of the Disney parks and stuff. So it's
a cool thing. It's been, but they also bought dinosaurs, and dinosaurs, in my opinion, went downhill after they bought it too. But yeah, that's another conversation, I guess.
Oh, I could talk about dinosaurs all day. That's a series that I rewatch.
That's because, a bonus episode.
Oh, that is definitely a bonus episode. I will talk about that nonstop and how perfect that show was on so many levels.
I love it so much.
But anyways,
yeah, I'd like to thank Doug Falters and Redwire Blackwire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And you can find us, we're jumping back into Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, season 2, episode 3. So fire up those, that Netflix, and come and watch what my opinion is still the best season of Sabrina, and some of the best episodes are coming up. And I know what the next one is, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to be so much fun.
And hopefully soon we're going to have our Patreon up. Besides that, if you want to, because we're still reading the final book in the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas, M-A-A-S. But if you would like to read along with us, or if you're interested in any of the, in learning more about any of the favorite familiars that we've covered, if you want to read any of the books that we've covered or we're going to cover, or if you're just interested in seeing what we've been reading, go to bookshop.org/shop/broomflicks, and I'll add a link on our website at bednubsandbroomflicks.com, as well as our Twitter page. But if you go there, you can purchase a book from a local bookstore. Not Amazon.
Though they do deliver to 80%, they are responsible for 80% of toy deliveries.
Yeah, that's true.
According to La Befana and Mr. Johnny.
But stick it to the man and support a local print bookstore. And you can purchase one of these books through them. And we also get a portion of it for being an affiliate. So check it out. I've got some books that I've been reading some I've been listening to on audiobook. I've got Confessions of a Puppet Master by Charles Band. Hell yeah. And Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl. I've been reading through that again. And we've got, there's books on, actually, there's the DVD on Sergeant Stubby. Those guys made an amazing movie. And there's books on Stubby and Grumpy Cat and on It's Too Late at Night. Linda,
it's almost one.
But there's also all the Thorn of Glass books. There's Good Omens. Just check it out.
Stardust.
Yeah. Check it out. And, do a favor for, especially around the holidays. And these times are hard for a lot of small businesses right now. So, bookstores, local bookstores can definitely use your help. So, we're not going to complain about getting a portion. So help us, help out a bookstore. That's bookshop.org/shop/Roomflix. Check it out.
Yep.
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
It is an orchestral shiny knob.
A swanky knob.
Swanky knob.
A Yule.
And now add the romantic orchestral knob.
And then
by the end of it, at the very end, you have to say singing in foreign language knob. Again, that was the closed captioning for the ending of that of this movie was singing in foreign language. Again, once again, Italian? Perhaps?
Check it out.